Well, Sinn Féin's health spokesperson David Cullinan said this report was one of the most devastating he had seen and that children were not protected from harm. He said there were governance, clinical, ethical and management failures here and that serious accountability was needed from Children's Health Ireland and from the government.
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to all of the families and the children who were affected by this. And the most devastating line in the report is where it says that children were not protected from harm. And I think that is absolutely devastating for any hospital to find itself in that situation. It points out very clear governance failures, ethics failures, process failures, management failures. It seems that it is a complete mess within Children's Health Ireland. And there has to be political accountability as well, because all of this spans over 7 years. It covers when Simon Harris was Minister for Health and obviously Stephen Donnelly. But to have a report from HICWA which says that children were not protected from harm is absolutely devastating. Obviously, all of the recommendations have to be implemented, but there has to be accountability and responsibility taken within CHI, but also political responsibility accepted by ministers, including Simon Harris and Stephen Donnelly, for all of those failures which are clearly outlined in this report.
David Cullinan speaking a short time ago. Joining us now is the current Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. Were you shocked when you read this report by how little oversight there was of the surgeon who implanted these springs?
I was shocked by every element of this report. And I do want to say thank you to Sean for doing the work, because when you listen to him, you recognise how difficult this work was. And also thank you to the families, because this is another difficult day for them. But to have gone through what they did with their children, with having non-surgical springs implanted into their little bodies, and the implication of all of that is just devastating, as David says and as Sean has said. So I do want to thank them for their work. I was shocked by every element of this, and in particular as you read the different things that went wrong, that a rogue surgeon of this engaged in this way, however well intentioned, that it wasn't captured and caught.
Oh, we should say that the report says he was well intentioned, but that what he did was wrong.
What he did was wrong, however intended it was, because we have a series of processes that may have been there but were not followed. That's a problem for him, but it's a much, much bigger problem for CHI and for the governance of the hospital and for the governance of CHI more broadly. And that is an issue of culture, but it's also an issue of process. I thank HICWA for their recommendations, which I can assure them will be implemented in full. But this is a major governance issue for CHI.
We've just seen the resignation of the chair of the board of CHI. But given what the report says about management structures at CHI and indeed at Temple Street, and about poor governance, poor communication, do you have confidence in the other board members and indeed the management of Temple Street?
Well, I think what's important now is we have a new CEO of CHI who's taken over in the last 8 weeks. So that is a brand new person, a brand new position. And I've been working with her closely on a range of different issues, including the Children's Hospital and also the response to this since Friday, since I was briefed by it by HICWA. I note that there has been a change, and I thank Dr. Jim Brown for his work over the last 10 years. There's been much good work done, but it's also time, and that's been discussed over the last number
of
weeks.
Should there be other resignations, though, I suppose, is the question at the heart of this.
I think for me now, what I need to do is reflect on the board and reflect on the next chairperson and the steps that are taken towards that. So that is something that I will do. But I am looking at the governance more broadly as we move to the new hospital and how that works.
Do you have doubts then about their ability to run the new children's hospital, given the complexity of what's involved there?
What I want to see is the appropriate governance structure in place to make sure that we have clinical leads who are managing each team. What I want to make sure is that every consultant who is employed in the Irish state in children's health and in everywhere else knows that they are not a single fiefdom, that they work within a hospital system, that they are public servants paid by the taxpayer, and that they follow rules set by us in an appropriate governance structure. That applies in children's and pediatric world and everywhere else. What I want is a culture where people who see things that are clearly wrong not only can step forward and say them, but must step forward and say them. And this report, I think, identifies all of those different problems, both from a culture perspective and from a process perspective. And for the new hospital, and this, it's important to say that this isn't in every specialism across CHI, across pediatric services more broadly. There are areas that are going very well, but there's very clearly a difficulty in this. And I can assure you that I would be very very deeply engaged in making sure that this is fixed.
Because if these families were treated so poorly, for instance, as we've been hearing, the report finds that they didn't give informed consent, isn't there a danger that others were treated equally poorly?
Yes, there is. And that's really, really important. And that's and any cases of that kind, I want to be aware of and want to know. And we are far too often dealing with a poor communication between hospitals or consultants and hospital staff and families. Families need to feel heard. They are their children's best advocate. That is always the case. And there needs to be very, very clear satisfaction by families about how their child is being cared for. But you're right to identify it. It was thoroughly uninformed consent. How could you consent? How could you possibly consent? And when your child is so young and in need of help of some kind, you're in a very vulnerable position. And I think hospitals really have to understand how vulnerable patients and their families are at those critical moments.
This is one report, but an external review of children's spinal surgery has also been taking place. That's a broader review, as I understand it, of surgery outcomes. When will it be completed and published?
There's two external reports ongoing. I don't have a date for when they will be completed, although drafts have been completed, a bit like HICWA has gone through a process in back and forth.
And have you seen any of those details?
No, because they're all draft. But I do expect to receive those reports, and I'll respond to them when I've received them appropriately.
And to be clear, those reports, they aren't just about the work of one consultant. We're talking about broader issues.
Broader issues. And I think it's right to identify that there have been, and I hope, you know, continue to be issues in orthopaedics more broadly. There are historical issues there, but, you know, the way in which I have already said that there is a long way to go in reforming and improving orthopaedic services more broadly for children. I'm thinking particularly of scoliosis, where we are nowhere near where I want to be. And although I meet the surgeons that we are also using in New York, and although I meet surgeons, I also meet families, and I want to make sure that they are getting the response and the interventions that they need. Now, things are improving. There is no doubt about that.
But at the same time, I can hear people all over the country saying, listen, it's 7 years since Simon Harris pledged that no child with scoliosis would wait longer than 4 months.
And you could hear me also saying that children need the appropriate intervention at the earliest appropriate moment. That's not always going to be within 4 months, depending on the age of the child, the trajectory of growth of the child. But what they do need
is that 4 month
very
pledge,
clear,
was that always unrealistic? That
what they do need is the right treatment at the right time, and they need clear outpatient appointments, a clear plan, clear trajectory. Now, there is a lot of work being done through the system on the more routine type of interventions, but certainly there are many of the more complex cases that need intervention. I met the surgical team from New York that we are also using last week. I know that they had an outpatient appointment to look at more cases that we can use the different tools to send children who are in need of urgent care abroad. But look, I'm
saying
to you
that
I'm not
happy. Children are going abroad at the moment for that treatment.
Yes, and being scheduled in that way appropriately for children for whom it is the right decision clinically. And I'm not, and you know, we're not in a position to decide that. Of course, it's the clinicians, but it is something that I am watching very closely. And as I said, while the trajectory is improving, it's not where I want it to be.
All right, just finally on one other matter unrelated to this. You're asking the HSE to expand cardiac services at University Hospital Waterford. Now, that's something that's been a subject of controversy for many, many years. So when is the situation there going to change?
We're making a policy decision today on foot of publishing the National Cardiac Review, which looks at having a dedicated cardiac centre of specialism in each of our new 6 regions. So Waterford is the obvious place for that. Waterford's numbers have grown and grown since the review even was completed at the end of 2022. Those numbers have grown again. So it's very clear that although we have extended it from it to an 8-to-8 service, we need to extend that further. So I have funding now to immediately recruit another 5 people, a consultant, a physiologist, the appropriate nursing staff, and to build on that over the next 12 to 18 months to make sure that Waterford will be the centre for 24-hour cardiac care. So that is a policy change. That is a new direction. There's immediate funding from existing resources to immediately build that out. We are struggling to recruit, but just to flag that, but nevertheless, the funding is there to begin that work and to make Waterford that dedicated centre in that region.
Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll-McNeill.